Welcome back, guys. DGS 206 on Fridays. Our buddy Sue Thomas from down the hall usually comes in. Sue at 2, and she's here and now.
Hi there.
About to be Sue at 1 p.m. on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us all about it.
I have a show that I've thought about doing for a while, and finally I thought, I heard Rachel's show, and I thought, doggone it, that is nice. I liked an interview she did with George Mayhew, and I thought, I've had this show idea. Let's see if I can get it done. And we are going to do it. It's called History of the Lou with Sue. All of those crazy stories that make up the history of St. Louis, stuff you've heard, stuff you haven't heard. The first show, we're going to talk about Automobile Row. I mean, St. Louis was second only to Detroit in auto production in the early 1900s.
See, I've already learned something.
See? I didn't know that.
Did not know.
I'm telling you. And so we're going to cover stories like that. Stuff that you do know. I talked to a woman at the Arch who told me the whole story of that. They had the Arch, or that the at least grounds for the park, in the 30s.
Wow.
And then they didn't actually get anything done until the 60s. It's just fascinating stuff. So all stories like that.
You might want to use this for your show. Do you know what business was used to be literally between the legs of the Arch?
No.
Skip Weber's great-grandpa's wagon business.
Oh, my gosh. And he is part of Automobile Row. There was a Weber Chevrolet. Well, it wasn't Chevrolet yet. They were making farm implements.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to have Skip on one
time.
Yeah,
isn't that something?
Yeah. So that's going to be on either one.
Rach, look at you inspiring people to do shows.
That's very sweet. Thank you, Sue. I'm looking forward. I can't wait to hear it tomorrow.
It'll be, 1 o'clock, and then I guess 1 or 7, depending on when the Cardinals play from here on.
Yeah. Walk me through your career. I know you so well, but I don't know, how you got into all this mess.
Let's see. I went to University of Tulsa and then came back home.
And what brought you to Tulsa?
You know what? My mom's friend, Mrs. Dunning, had a daughter who went there.
Awesome.
Seriously.
That's great.
And she,
good enough for me.
Yeah, I thought, okay. And they gave me...
you and me, Dunning.
That's right. And she was already gone. She had graduated. But I thought, okay, well, she liked it, So I went there, and they gave me just tiny, tiny amount of scholarship money, enough so that my parents said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came back, I did a little bit of PR for a while. And then I thought, this is not flipping my cheese. So I went to the broadcast center.
I didn't go to Tulsa for this.
No. But, truly, had I been brave, I would have just studied broadcasting down there, but I didn't. And I went to the broadcast center, and then I graduated, and they sent me down to Tifton, Georgia, where I was the news director of the world's smallest radio station. And I was news director of myself. There was no staff. It was just
me. Were you pretty hard on yourself?
Yeah, it was a tough cake.
And we've had this talk before. I know Tifton very well.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, Nick got pulled over there.
Oh, gosh, a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
It's on 75 on your way to Florida.
A lot of little municipalities do what they would do what
they
do at the airport here.
$400 tickets.
Yeah, they do. And they're looking for the out-of-towners.
Yes, they are.
You don't see any of them pulling any Georgia people
so
over.
So you didn't meet the man of your dreams in Tifton?
No, I did not. No.
And, did it flip your cheese, though?
I don't know. It was weird, and it was very Southern, and I'm not really a Southern gal. And so that job ended after 6 months, and I came back here and then worked part-time until Brad Hildebrand hired me to do traffic. And I talk about this in the show because they made me say, you have to establish this show and say who you are. But we did traffic out of a house over on Hedgeburg, and we would broadcast from different bedrooms. So Lance was in the the first bedroom, and he had all this equipment, and he would type up everything that happened. And then next door would be somebody doing Kix 104 at the time.
Yeah.
And in the back bedroom was somebody doing 96.3, whatever it was at the time. And there was a porch, and I was on the porch for a while doing KEZK, and then 550,
You realize how made up this sounds.
I know, but it isn't. And that's where I met Kevin Killeen, because then Brad started a news business, and so Kevin was in there typing up stuff, and we would send out news and traffic to different stations. And at the time, we had, there wasn't any web-based thing, and we couldn't afford a helicopter in that business, so they had two drivers that he put in hoopties, and sent them out, and then they would radio in. I'm on northbound 270. It took me 10 minutes to get from Gravois to Doherty Ferry. Wow. And then Lance would type that in and hit a button and send it out to all of us.
And that was like the technology.
That was the technology.
Wow. And we were fine.
Yes, we were fine. We knew travel times really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess I went from there to a morning show on Dave and Sue on 104.1, which was Kix, because I had done their traffic, and then they brought me in. And then it turned into 106.5, and it was Billy and Sue in the afternoon. And then I was doing Channel 4 in the morning in the studio, and then Kix in the afternoon. And they, you know, I don't know. And then somehow I ended up here.
I think that's when I when I became familiar with you, when it was with Billy.
Yeah. Oh, we had so much
fun.
Those
were good years.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was an Emma station.
Hard not to have fun with Billy.
Yeah, it's really true. That was so much fun. And we had intern Andy and launched him. I think he's somewhere at a radio station in Wyoming.
And
yeah,
so,
Did
you say when you were at KMOV, did you work with Mark Cox there too?
Yes,
that's
thanks.
So funny.
That's so weird, isn't it? It was a morning show with Mark Cox and Margie Ellisor, who was at 4 then before she went to 2, and Corey Barron doing weather, and me doing traffic, and that was the morning show. And then eventually Margie went to 2, and they brought in just kind of a revolving door of different women for that, and Corey left, and you know.
When is it that you were flying?
After Channel 4, they said, okay, well, you could just be airborne for KEZK. And I said, okay, because what are you going to say?
Right.
No, so thanks. We flew in the mornings, and there were 4 of us in that helicopter. And we would have to, it was flown by Channel 5. The Channel 5 helicopter guy flew it. And there was somebody doing, there were 2 other radio station reporters in there and me doing KZK. So if somebody had to go down for any reason, we had to refuel. We were up for so long, we would have to land at 7:30. We'd take off at 6, land at 7:30, and to get fuel to go back up. And it was crazy.
In general, are you like nervous about flying, things like that?
No.
Didn't bother you?
But what? Helicopters are better than little planes. Those little planes are much scarier.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but a helicopter is nice and steady, and there's no, you know, movement, really. Yeah.
What about when you have to go to the bathroom real bad?
Yeah, I've had that experience. And the problem there is, you know, you can say, I have to go. And they can go down, and, you know, they have to land somewhere, usually at some sort of airport, like a Chesterfield out there. But you could mess up other people's reports.
Uh-huh.
So if somebody's about to go, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they'd probably prefer you mess up the reports.
Oh, my goodness. They would say, okay, well, we're going to try to go between this time and this time, and we'll just drop you off. You run in, and then we'll, because they'd have to go back up so somebody's signal would make it, and then come back down and pick you up. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of going to the bathroom while you're flying, do you know how Andrew thought that the bathroom on planes worked?
Oh, no.
I bet you could guess.
A hole?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just open up a flap and there's a ghost.
Now, flying, what do you call it? Outhouse.
No,
flying
you
outhouse.
Didn't, Andrew.
Now, that's, I mean, a flap is more accurate than a hole. I mean, I thought it was stored, but then I thought it was perhaps released in the air and it became the clouds.
Over like,
it,
Nebraska.
It became the clouds.
It becomes the snow. I thought it falls from the sky.
Blue clouds made of crap.
I thought it sort of burned up on reentry. I thought that was part of why.
Burned up on reentry.
I thought that was part of the pollution of why you're not supposed to drink rainwater without filtering it.
I don't think that's that dumb. Because
okay, Dave. It could be some poop is going to burn up on reentry.
Yes, it is.
Oh, sorry.
But we're not even coming from outside the atmosphere. We're under.
Correct.
Well, I just thought it would. I thought it.
Correct.
It would like.
We never exited.
It'd be in a million particles.
Yeah, it'd be in a million particles, and it would essentially, like, the liquid
so
would
that,
evaporate,
so
and the solid.
So it's hitting everybody.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that, yeah.
Well, every time he uses the bathroom on the plane, he's
purple
like, I'm sorry,
rain.
Guys. Sorry to do it
that
to
is
you.
Not.
Yeah, not that sorry.
Don't
you're like,
up.
Take this.
Thought that was the inspiration for Purple Rain.
I don't feel too bad.
That was your time on the DGS with Mark and Tony and all that? Was that your best time?
Yeah, it was.
It was mine. Yeah. I mean, like, I love this cast. Yeah. I love all my casts, but there was something really cool about that.
It was, and I think I was really fortunate to be there, but also fortunate that I got a little bit of the Mark Close era.
Yes, for sure.
I feel really grateful.
You realize it's still going on, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, in that show.
Yes, when he was at his peak.
But yeah, I feel he was.
When he was still Mark.
I feel he was.
Yeah. I had breakfast with him the other day.
Grateful is definitely a word that we could all use to describe Mark.
222 DGS. Happy Friday to everybody. Going to be really hot this weekend, so get those air conditioners ready to go. Sue Thomas hanging out with us. Let's do some fast food news.
Absolutely. Chick-fil-A is now the third largest fast food chain in America, second only behind McDonald's and Starbucks. And wow. They're absolutely dominating in the chicken lane, so McDonald's better watch their back with their chicken
sandwiches.
Man, that
happened fast.
Such.
It did, yeah. Didn't
it? Wasn't that long ago you could really only get it on the East Coast and in the South.
Yeah.
KFC has launched a new Taste of KFC Deals value menu starting at $4.99. I believe Andrew had one earlier today. Let's get a little review.
Extremely good. So they're basically what you're getting is you're getting the number one minus a soda.
What I'm unfamiliar for the with the number one.
It did not occur to me that somebody might not know was the number one at KFC.
Yeah. I watch it happen every day, and even I don't know what the number one is.
It is a two-piece dark, so
I love a two-piece
and,
dark.
Me too. A leg and a thigh, and a biscuit and an order of mashed potatoes. And unlike the typical combo meal, the taters are not substitutable.
They should call the number one people who don't have jobs.
Yeah.
Two-piece dark, my ass.
That's the best kind of chicken. What are you talking about? Dark meat is so good.
It's so good. It's much more flavorful.
Give me dried out chicken breasts anytime.
Team Dave here.
Because that's the problem that you run into with the white meat. It's too dry.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I've come around to really good thighs. Like, I can make thighs.
Which is dark meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I come around to that. But
I like a leg. I would do, I mean, if I just had a big old pile of chicken legs in front of me, I could get through them.
Boy, that's sexy.
Picture a pile.
I'd be okay.
I think I'd
get through it.
Now I've lost the thread. So the taste of KFC, what are you tasting?
It's just a little $5 bundle.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
It's not like try everything.
No.
No.
It's like try almost nothing.
It's literally
try
three things. It is literally a simple, like a basic number one combo without a, it doesn't come with a drink.
This is going to sound really stupid because the answer is obviously yes, but I Taco Bell is the first one I remember with, hey, we're changing everything. Now you can get this. Now you can't do that. Now this is just like one of their major marketing, like all of them, right?
Yeah.
The McRib's back. No, it's not.
Right.
The Enchirito's back. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Like it's free advertising.
Yeah, it's free advertising, and it's more importantly, it creates that that artificial demand, right? Where you're like, we have to go to McDonald's 5 days this week because I want the McRib, and the McRib could go away at any moment. Yeah.
Wait,
and
is so there?
It's that artificial scarcity that works in every works in every consumable market.
Is an Enchirito a thing?
Did you
make that up? What
no,
is that?
It used to
it's
be
a real thing.
What is it?
Burrito enchilada.
Oh.
See, I thought I made it up.
Yeah. Enchiritos are real.
It's a thing.
Dave just started putting together Taco Bell symbols.
How do you combine the two?
Dave's really, like, it's just a burrito with enchilito sauce, with enchilada sauce.
Oh, okay.
And some cheese on top.
Okay.
This is not meant to be offensive, but it's all the same materials.
Basically.
Right?
Yeah, put in different locations.
Yeah. Right, put in different configurations.
Yes, thanks. That's a better word.
Yep. Would that be the same as like a hamburger place? Are all places like that pretty much the same fungible items that they just...
I mean, if you go to Chick-fil-A, no matter what you get, it's their chicken.
It's going to be chicken, whether it's cut into nuggets or...
Has the Chick-fil-A gay thing gone away? Do people still complain about that?
Yeah, there are plenty of people who won't go
there. Yeah, I think there are people that won't go there,
But there's also a lot of people who, like, are gay.
Make an exception.
And think Chick-fil-A is totally fine. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
I like the way you said are gay.
Well, I just mean, like, you know, hey.
It's like my dad was alive again.
It's sort of like my scapegoat for ethics. It's like, hey, if they don't have a problem with it...
You know, there are people who are gay. And
I don't feel...
If they don't feel guilty, I don't have to feel guilty.
Here's a good fast food news story. It's going on just today. Sonic is offering a $1 grilled cheese deal on April 12th, which is today. To take advantage of the offer, simply snag the deal via the app or online today only.
You know why that's today?
Why?
It's Grilled Cheese Day.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Did not know.
National Grilled Cheese Day.
Build me your perfect grilled cheese.
Oh. Mm. Am I first?
Yeah.
Here it is. Bread, of course. I'm just going to give that as a given.
Show, people.
Butter. Butter on the outside. But then it's going to be cheddar. I like a little bit of a mix of a medium cheddar, a little bit of sharp, and then a white cheese that's just melty and good. And then some bacon.
Yum.
Man.
Possibly a thin tomato slice.
You are high maintenance. Look at you.
Sounds delicious.
And that's it. Cut it, of course, on the diagonal.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it.
If you're doing it down the center,
you're a psychopath.
Wrong.
Yes, if you don't do a diagonal. So Wheeler and I found the middle of our Venn diagram of music.
Enough's enough.
Yeah, right on.
No
like
way.
That look?
Let me see.
Glam
that.
Hair bands.
Yeah.
You like that?
They were pretty
gentlemen.
There
were so many of them. Like, one of my favorites, too, was the one called Dirty Looks.
They was that little, with a Z?
Nah, I don't know. Probably. There were a lot of Z's in there in the 80s. But, like, that was, they sounded a little bit like they were ripping off AC/DC, but then a little more glammy sound.
I had the worst of all time band names. We never played, but it was Boys Night Out. BOYZNITEOWT.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the worst.
Well, you know, the joke from the Bill and Ted's, like, Wild Stallions?
Yeah.
That was kind of the names that were happening.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%.
W-Y-L-D.
Yeah. Attorney Brad Young is here. Before you were Attorney Brad Young, back in the olden days, what kind of music were you into? Did you ever play music?
Oh, yeah. I was in a band. I had a garage band. We played all the VFWs in Southern Illinois.
Nice.
Yeah, I was the drummer.
You're the king assessor.
Oh, yeah, it was me. Buddy Buckner, I was really popular in Buckner, let me tell you.
Couldn't even walk down the street in Frisco.
Or Bug Dust, which is an actual place.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's down by Johnston City. It's called Bug Dust.
Now,
it's called Dog Walk. I'm sorry.
The Eclipse was your old hometown, basically.
Well,
did you head back down there?
Yeah. Macanda, I mean, you know, you have to smoke weed daily where they won't even let you in the Macanda.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't head down there. But, yeah, it was a big deal, I will tell you. All the Airbnbs sold out.
Oh, I bet. I saw there was like a Comfort Inn, and the guy was being interviewed, and he's like, how much is a room here? Usually he's like, $49.99. He goes, what is it tonight? And he goes, $500.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Supply and demand.
Wow. Bring your own sheets.
That's right. No kidding. So Brad's here to talk about this FISA deal, and I don't understand much about it. I really don't. But we remember FISA from, it's the secret court that you go to,
yes.
And you need someone looked at, so take it over. Why is this important?
Well, it's important because under Section 702 of the FISA statute, it allows the government to obtain records without getting a traditional warrant. And the restrictions that are on this 702 warrantless document search, in essence, is what it is. The restrictions are it can only go against foreign nationals. That's the restriction that's there. Unfortunately, it never works that way, because if you've got a foreign national communicating with someone in the United States, I mean, it's not like it's like on Get Smart where all the cone of silence.
Yeah.
Right. Or all the foreign spies are only talking to foreign spies. They're talking to Americans.
So you're Pakistani and they're listening to you, but you're talking to me in St. Louis.
Correct.
Okay.
And so all of that gets vacuumed up together because this kind of information is always gathered up electronically. And so the unintended consequence is that Americans are being swept up in this search for information, and it's all being done without a warrant. That's the rub. That's the issue that's presented here and why there's so much controversy over it.
Now, what are you a fan of? Are you a fan of, no, I do not like this, let's change it, or is it important enough that we should protect it?
I think the Constitution is the Constitution, and it says if you're going to get records on Americans, get a warrant. And I am uncomfortable with carving out non-statutory, non-constitutional-based exceptions under the guise of national security. I'm just uncomfortable with that.
When did this come about and why?
Well, FISA started after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
That was the genesis of 9/11 because the idea was there are people here who are plotting to hurt this country, and we have to have a more expedited way to get information, and this is it. So it passed. Of course, there was zero controversy in 2002
sure.
when it passed, because we were still in that after, I don't want to say afterglow, but the aftershock mm-hmm. of 9/11, and so it passed relatively easy. But since then, now that we've had a chance to calmly and rationally look at it, there are a lot of individuals who look at this and say it's a problem. Now, mm-hmm. here's what I think is interesting, how it fits into politics. The last time the FISA authorization came up was in 2018. Trump signed it with no problem, didn't complain, said he in support of it. Now he's coming out and saying he's against it because it was used in part to spy on him. But, of course, because in classic Donald Trump fashion, it's got to be about him, right? But ideally, and from a standpoint of constitutional reasoning, I've always been troubled by 702, and especially now, because if the Constitution says get a warrant, then get a warrant.
See, this is why politics are so interesting, because someone like myself, who doesn't like Donald Trump, when I heard about it this morning and I heard that he was against it because it was used against him, I'm like, then I'm for it. But a smart guy like you, who's against it for sound, logical, legal reasons, makes me question that. Which is why you don't just watch CNN and see Donald Trump's face and make a decision.
Right. And the vote that happened yesterday was, 273 in favor, 147 against. It was bipartisan on both sides.
Uh-huh.
And so it did pass. And President Biden will presumably sign it. And
yeah.
and it'll be reauthorized for an additional period of probably 6 years. But those lingering problems will still remain, which is that inadvertent grabbing of information about Americans who are here. They're citizens, and yet their rights are being violated without a warrant. That's going to continue. And we'll have this conversation again in 5 or 6 years.
So we did a lot really fast after 9/11. Are there more things like this that you're aware of? Maybe not specifically this, but I mean, we made a lot of exceptions. We changed a lot of things really fast, created new agents. Yeah, right. Went into all of that. Are there any other lingering things that are like that have unintended consequences?
Oh, I'm sure there are. Nothing immediately comes to mind, Wheels. But this is why, and I guess that's why I want to add, even in 2002, there were concerns about the constitutionality of Section 702 of the FISA Act. And so that's why it could only be renewed for a limited period of time. It wasn't like most things. You pass a law and it's good forever unless that law is revoked. But this, baked into it, has a sunset provision every 5 or 6 years, so that, again, we can look at this retroactively and say, well, in the passion after 9/11 of doing something, maybe that was great then, but 6 years from now, we may not feel the same way. And so that's why that sunset provision is baked in.
That makes sense. Let's switch a little bit to politics. So Mike Johnson is making a pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago to talk to Donald Trump because Marjorie Taylor Greene is talking about ousting him again. Any handicapping on this next one, how that might go?
Well, I don't think you're going to see Donald Trump being in support of Mike Johnson. I just don't see that happening. And
why would that be?
Well, for lots of reasons, and including this 702 of the FISA Act is one of them. But what we see here is an interesting trend, with whether it was with McCarthy or Johnson or whoever will be the next Speaker of the House, and it's this. The MAGA crowd says, this is our man, this is who we want. And then once that person gets into office, they start realizing that being the Speaker of the House is a lot more difficult than simply throwing grenades at the Speaker of the House. And so then you have to start taking more things into consideration. And when you do, then the pot shots keep coming. And all of this really flows from the fact that there's a razor thin majority.
It's kind of like being an employee at Pizza Hut, and everyone hates Hank, the manager.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you become the manager, and you realize why everyone hated Hank.
Yes.
Because you actually have to do stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly it in a microcosm, Dave. And so I think what you're going to see here is this continual problem with being able to oust the speaker as long as there's a razor-thin majority. Mm-hmm. So what happens this November? if the House changes substantially one way or the other, and there's more than a two or a three or a four seat majority for the majority party, then this type of issue will disappear.
This early on, do you pay any real attention to polls?
Zero.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
No, I don't even really start. I mean, I might look at the polls and laugh about what they're suggesting, but I don't pay any attention to polls until August. Now, August, you start to see a trend. If you look from August to September, you can see a trend in how the polls are moving. That is informative for what's going to happen in November. Mm-hmm. But now it's just guesswork.
Very good. That's Brad Young. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
250 DGS, happy Friday to you. Going to be in the high 70s and 80s this weekend. Man, oh, man.
Nice. Ugh. Looking forward to that. It's still going to be a little chilly tonight.
Yeah.
A little bit.
How chilly is chilly? Like 40s?
Yeah, like okay. For baseball, that's chilly.
Oh, I see.
We were talking about Sue's new show and doing research, and she talked about a project she did with this girl. And I said, not hard to believe. You never wanted to be in a small group with me in school. And haha. And then I thought, oh, crap, that's probably true. Like, I always, like, I'm self-deprecating and I make fun of myself, but when I say things like, hey, never wanted to be in a small group with me, the guy in the back of my brain's thinking, you totally wanted to be in a small group with me. I was cracking everybody up. But then the guy in the front goes, hey, guy in the back, shut up. You were useless. You ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're a little delusional.
Yeah.
And then the other voice in your head is like, all right, back down to earth.
Then, like, the grown-up Dave kicks in and goes, like, you didn't do anything. Like, making drumsticks dance doesn't write the paper, you know?
No, it doesn't.
Dave. Oh, they love me. Everyone loved being in a group with me. What were you guys like in groups? Rachel, you don't even have to answer. We know what you were like.
I would do quite a bit of
quiet
work. You were quiet in groups?
Oh, yeah. I was shy.
That's
a
surprise.
I was generally very shy in school.
Because you were so hot and ripped from the uniform.
That's exactly right.
Also talk stupid. Too much. They won't leave you alone.
That's right.
Yeah. Also not very smart. So
can't be hot
really
and smart and all that.
Didn't know what was going on.
So you strike me the same as Rach.
Yep.
Taking the bull by the horns.
Let's get this done.
The old Dewey Decimal System.
And then we might have to redo somebody's if it's not really as good as we want it to.
Jeez.
There was this one group I was in. It was actually in college, and it was a speech class. And this girl had a funeral that she was attending, but they had misprinted the date on the funeral. And she came to us like in this clandestine way and was like, look, I can get us out of the group project because they misprinted the date on the
oh my gosh
program. And we were all like, no, we'll just go ahead and do the project on time.
Crazy.
It was very bizarre.
You didn't use that? I would have used
it. Because it felt weird. Yeah, and everyone was prepared anyway. It was like, no, let's just go ahead and
I was
do the project.
Say, if you're already done, yeah, let's do it. That's so funny.
But it was kind of a glimpse into the mind of those kind of people in the group who are like, hey, I can get us out of this.
Here's exactly the kind of parent I am. Top five parenting moments. When Phoebe was in about fifth or sixth grade at ICD, she was having trouble with an assignment. And I found the teacher's book online with all the answers and just handed it to her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, you're the best. You know, there's a lot of similarities going along my life path, isn't there? Then I did the raptor walk and made her laugh, and I'm like, you're the best dad in the whole world.
Kevin, you know
what? What's up?
What about you in a group project?
What do you guys think I was in the group?
I think you were Brainiac. I think you were probably pretty serious.
I was the bossy one.
Yeah.
Took charge, gave everybody their duties.
Why does you're talking about your school has so much money, but I thought you said it was so small. How does that work?
Yeah, so like when I was there, so I mean I graduated in 1990, so it's a long time ago. We were a high school that was in an old, quote-unquote, retired junior high building.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So we were a private Catholic high school. We moved into an old public junior high that had been retired because they didn't have enough people there. So we're in this tiny little place. Didn't have our own football field, didn't have our own baseball field, didn't have anything like that. Now the place is basically a college campus. They moved 20 miles away. They got all this land gifted to them by an alum, and they have now a science building with a telescope, and they're going to have flight simulators that people
Jeez,
can... Yeah, I mean, it's I'm telling you, it's insane. Huge facilities for football, big old stadium, everything. And they just, a lot of rich alums decided they were going to give a lot of money over the last 30 years. So guess who was at my high school yesterday?
Who's that?
Nick Saban.
Well.
He's just there giving a talk. That's how it's changed. Like, it's always been like a hardcore, like 98% of the student body goes to college. Everybody plays sports.
It's kind of like my experience at WashU Law. We were in a building called the Mud Building, for real. It won awards in like 1972 because it was made completely of concrete. Wow. And when I say made from concrete, I mean the walls, the floors, inside, outside. It was the coldest, ugliest building of all time. When I went there for my interview, I walked past it and I thought that's where they kept like their big lawnmowers and things like that. Because it's WashU. WashU's Hogwarts, right? Yeah. It's Harvard and Yale. And since then, they have built a very Hogwarts, Yale, Harvard-looking law school. It's gorgeous. Yeah. But those of us who graduated from Mud have this little bond where we went to the crappiest building of all time.
Yeah. Those little groups that in my high school, those groups that we were in, everybody was like me. There was five of us that were like that. Everybody's trying to take charge. Everybody's like, we're going to do all this. Because it's just the way that school was. That's how you're trained to be. And then I get to college and it was like, oh, these people really don't want to do anything. Guess I'm doing it.
How would I have done it high school?
My high school?
Yeah.
You would not have enjoyed it.
No, didn't sound like it.
It's a little, I mean, it was also like over the top with the intensity.
They wouldn't have enjoyed your little reindeer games.
No, it's not so much that, is that you wouldn't have enjoyed the way that you weren't allowed to do things. Like when you went in as a freshman, right? One of the first days, you go to the gym and you do like a freshman assembly. And they are literally teaching you how to cheer at sporting events for football and basketball specifically. Hmm. Like, you are learning the cheers for the school.
Sounds like a cult.
I'm not going to lie, man. There was some brainwashing.
Huh.
And it was, don't get me wrong, I loved it and it was great. But yeah, there was definitely some brainwashing.
Interesting. Thank you, Sue. Good luck on your new show tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
1 p.m. KMOX.
Appreciate it.
You bet.